And thank you very much indeed. So, we got the message. We had the commission, go and tell people. So what went on? Well, very early on, the disciples and the early church were meeting in the temple courts. You've been to Jerusalem, it's a huge great area up on that temple mound, and they met to worship God, to learn about him through his word, to praise him, to break bread together. And they were also an incredibly generous church. They shared what they had. They supported those who had very little. And very quickly, there was that about that spirit-filled community of early believers that was attractive. That incredible word. The Lord was adding to their number daily those who were being saved. There is nothing about the early Christians launching some sort of evangelistic campaign, engaging in some special program. They simply met together and worshipped, and they lived out being church. They were simply witnesses. Didn't you love that sign for witness? Somebody who sees and speaks. You see it, you speak it. You see, you experience the love of God, and you speak about it. There's nothing particularly difficult about evangelism. It's speaking about what you see. All of us can witness to what we've done this morning. We could go round and ask everybody, what did you have for breakfast this morning? How did you get here? What time did you get up in the morning? Have you been watching the World Cup? Who are you supporting? And you will be witnesses to what you have seen. You've seen and you speak it. Very, very straightforward. And that is what that early church were doing. They were simply living out. They were good news people, evangel people very naturally. They were living out what they believed, and the Lord was adding to their number daily those who were being saved. That there is something about a gathering of believers which should be a little taste of heaven. I was talking to a girl not so long ago, and she had been on a Christian camp, and she said there was just something about the relationship, the way people treated each other, the way they looked out for each other, talked to each other, cared about each other. There was something so special about that place. And I just knew there was something of God because of the way people behaved and treated one another. And the local church is a crucial manifestation and representation of the love of God. And a place that attracts because of the quality of relationship, the quality of worship, the quality of living. Some of you may know that Roman Empire officially became a Christian empire under the Emperor Constantine. What fewer people know is that a little while after Constantine, there was a guy called Julian. Julian was a relation of Constantine. He became emperor, and he tried to turn the empire back to being a non-Christian empire. And there's a very interesting set of letters that he wrote. And what he tends to be saying them is, he said, you guys who are pagans have got to outdo these Christians because they live so well. They are so generous in their living, the way they care about people, not just their own, but they care about the poor in their community. This actually was particularly in Alexandria in Egypt. He said, you guys are just being outdone by the Christians because of their quality of life. There is that about their lives which is so warm and attractive. In the film When Harry Met Sally, there's a lovely moment in a restaurant where someone is just loving what they're doing. Something, I don't know what she's got, but I want a bit of it. It's that kind of, I love what they've got. I want a bit of that. Can I have a bit of that? They've got something that is different. Something that is so overwhelmingly attractive about Christian living. A guy I've worked with a bit called Rob Parsons tells a lovely story from Midwest America about an old lady called Marge Staples. Marge Staples was quite short, she was quite wide, and she was quite old, but she was a lovely lady, brimming over with the love of Jesus. And in this church, she was what they called a greeter, which means she had responsibility for saying hello to people who arrived in the church, at a particular section of the church. One day, this huge Hell's Angel came into the church, all dressed in black leather and piercings all over his body and four-letter words written across his knuckles. And he came in, daring anybody to speak to him, looking very, very angry. And he was angry because he didn't want to be there. He had lost a bet, and the bet was that he would have to go to church if he lost. So there he was, striding down, 6'4" of him, massive guy, sits in the front row of the church heavily. And Marge Staples bustles up to him, throws her arms around him and says, brother, welcome. It's just so lovely you're here. Thank you for coming. It's just really encouraging to have you here. And he burst into tears. And it's a long story, but actually he came to Christ. He was baptized in that church. He became a leader. He had to have the tattoos removed from his knuckles because he upset people otherwise when he was praising God. But he became an amazing witness because what he saw is what he spoke about. And he saw that experienced in that church. because the love of God was made manifest, was made known, was seen by the way people treated one another. Move on only a few weeks to this event, the stoning of Stephen and the first martyr. The word martyr, again, its origin is actually just in witness, somebody who bears witness to the truth. Again, it's the same word, martyr and witness. Martyrius is a Greek word. So there is Paul watching all this going on, filled with anger and hatred of the church. And there is the church suddenly rent asunder. People are sent all over the place and they're sent out. And what do they do when they get out there? They preach the good news. They go out and live it and they go and speak it. We gather together in church for about an hour or so each week, may come to a home group or whatever. But basically our time spent together as a Christian community is very small, and that's fine. That is okay. Most of our life is spent in other places, our place of work, our school, our community, wherever we find ourselves. And that is where we continue to be church and to live church. And that is how we continue to share the love of Jesus. Sharing the good news of Jesus isn't about a recruitment campaign for the church. It is living out the love of Christ wherever we find ourselves. The early church, to a certain extent, needed this push that people would go out and begin to take the good news to Samaria and to the ends of the earth. They were doing quite well in Jerusalem because that's where they were and they're quite comfy there. They didn't really want to go much further because they knew Jerusalem. That's where they lived. Judea, well, some of them lived out in the outlying villages. That was all right as well, but go out to Samaria, go over to Cyprus, up to Antioch, out to Rome, not sure about that. And therefore, this first persecution has the effect of pushing people out to share the good news of Jesus wherever they might go. It's easy to stay safe together, but to go out and live the love of Jesus and to be good news people wherever we find ourselves, that is, if you like, evangelism in the raw and in the rough. Wherever we might be and whoever we might be with, taking that good news, living that good news. And that's quite hard when we're living cheek by jowl with people who don't believe the same thing we do, but being willing to commit time and love and energy to those who do not share the same message that we have. Within Scripture Union, a huge amount of our work is focused on supporting churches, but even more is focused on equipping people to share the good news of Jesus in schools and finding new ways of building bridges to those who would never naturally darken the doors of the church, whether it's through holiday clubs, whether it's through sports ministries, whether it's working with young offenders, finding new ways of building bridges so that Christian people might be in a position to share the love of Christ. And that takes time and commitment. A friend of mine told me a story recently. He was involved in a mentoring program. What it involved was adults from church were willing to spend time with kids who had been excluded from their school. Normally, they were 14, 15-year-old boys, normally pretty stroppy and pretty difficult. And one guy had arranged to meet up with a 15-year-old lad who had been excluded from school, and they arranged to meet up, I don't know, in a Starbucks or whatever. They arrange it. This guy goes to the Starbucks, and the lad doesn't turn up. They arrange again. The lad doesn't turn up. Third time, the lad doesn't turn up. Fourth time, the lad doesn't turn up. But on the fifth occasion that they've arranged, he does. They sit down, they start drinking the coffee. And this man says to this lad, he said, why didn't you turn up any of those first four times? And the lad said to him, he said, oh, I did. But I was standing over there by the door. I wanted to see whether you would turn up. In other words, I wanted to see how committed you were, whether you were really bothered, or whether you just were kind of another hit-and-run merchant. I've had so many people let me down in my life already. Why should I just add you to the list of those who've already done that to me? How committed are you? How committed are we to our friends, to our neighbours, to our colleagues, to those who we may not even know yet, and actually we're committed enough to try and make a bridge and build a relationship? And if I can now invite again all those who sort of sang and whatever just a moment ago. So have you lot come up here a second? Just keep you moving. And if we imagine, just for a moment, you guys here, you all come stand here, you lot, if we imagine that you are the local church, stand as close together as possible, close together, you are the local church. And if you all just stayed together here, that'd be great, and you would attract people, hopefully, by your joy and your friendship and the fact you're amazing people. But actually, if we really want to get out to other people, we've got to go to them. And so we imagine, again, you've got sort of, I think they're probably left over from Easter, actually, if I'm honest, some little eggs. If they just stay in the jar, they could look very nice and might be vaguely attractive, I suppose, to other little chocolate eggs, but not much else. But If you each take a couple, you can have one for yourself and one for somebody else. Tell you what, I'll do it like this. There we are. Hang on, rather than do it. There we are. So just take a couple each. And you can have one yourself, and then I want you, when I tell you, okay? How are we doing? I hope nobody was listening to the anti-sugar campaign on the radio this morning. It was okay. Oh, you got your hand stuck. There's a story about that involving a monkey, and it's to do with temptation, but I'm sure you know that one. Okay. Right, you can eat one, but you've got to save one to take to somebody. Okay. I'm sure you've eaten more than one. I'm sure you've just been here a moment ago. How are we doing? There we go. Now, again, you stay here. And, again, it all stays in one place. But I want you all to go around the church and give a leg to anybody. It can be a friend, but ideally do it to somebody you don't know. Somebody you've never met before. Take another. Go to right to the back of the church and take it to someone. Right to the back of the church. Father. And it's about that simple, the sweetness or the shining that we were talking about. That willingness to take what we know and to be witnesses. What we see is what we speak. What we see is what we speak. Yes, we do it as a community, as a gathered community that attracts people, but we go out and we tell others, and we go out and we spend time telling others and getting to know others and being with others. You guys here are the church. You're not the church of the future. You are not the church in waiting. You are the church. You are witnesses already of what you've seen and what you can tell to your friends and to others. And it is by going out and sharing that good news, because it is truly the best news in the world. So if we pray for a moment, Lord, we pray that every single one of us would be witnesses. As you come in power by your Holy Spirit, give us the confidence, give us the courage to live out what we believe, both here within the church to be an attractive community, but out wherever we find ourselves, at schools, among our friends, in our neighbourhoods, playing football, playing cricket, playing tennis, doing sport, doing music, living out the love of Jesus, that all men may know of your love. Amen. Amen. Thank you very much indeed.